Oh, what a beautiful day. Hello and welcome to Story River Fables. It's Tina Constant here. Yeah, you know, Jibba Jabba's at the end. We're jumping right into this week's story, which is called The Betrayal. Now, a sapling sequoia stood in the middle of a field. She didn't know how she landed there. All alone, with no other sequoias in sight. In fact, no other trees in sight at all. As far as a sequoia could see, there was nothing but fields and meadows and lakes and rivers, hills and the sun and the moon. The tree was still young, so she assumed she just wasn't tall enough to see enough of the world. With her mission strong in her heart, she focused all of her energy on rooting deep and growing tall. 100 years passed, and then 500 years. And still, for as far as the tree could see, there was nothing but meadows and fields and rivers and lakes. She did what she could to find comfort and company, but the tree was growing so tall and so strong that the world around her merely looked up to her and seemed nervous in her presence. The only new addition, other than the animals brave enough to nestle in her branches or burrow between her roots, was a strange creature who used her boughs for shade. The giant sequoia, because she was a giant by now, was amused by these little creatures. They talked a lot, they made a lot of noise, they built things, and they picked everything the tree dropped, from her leaves to her branches to her cones, and they took them away. The sequoia didn't know where these beings took what she dropped or what they did with it, but she didn't mind. She liked their chatter and their noise. She liked their touch and their whispers, and above all, she liked that they weren't wary of her. Sometimes they came alone. Sometimes they came in pairs. They'd whisper secrets and they'd whisper worries. And sometimes they just told the tree about their day. Then they would touch or hug the tree like they were agreeing to keep each other's confidence. This comfortable embrace went on generation after generation for another 500 years. The tree knew the hearts of every man, woman, and child, and a village grew around her. The tree spread out her branches to make sure there was shade and protection. She dropped twigs and branches she didn't need for their home fires and roofs and a myriad other uses. With all that, the tree still looked around her for a sign of any other tree. She stretched as tall as her tallest branches could reach to see what she could see, but there still wasn't a single tree in sight. What the sequoia did notice was that as the village grew, the animals who used to sleep in her branches and grow families in her knots and folds started to stay away. "Too much noise," the owl said. "Too many feet," said the rabbit. "Too many traps and cooking pots," said the guinea fowl. And one by one, the animals moved away and disappeared over the hill. Another 100 years passed, and a day came when a gathering formed around the tree. This wasn't usual. There were no picnics and no whispers and no quiet conversations. The men were pointing and the women were shaking their heads. There were angry shouts and fights. This lasted 3 days. And then finally, they seemed to come to an agreement. "Fine," a man said. "It can stay, but we can't have it spreading or growing any more than it has." And the tree was confused. "I can't grow any more? How will I ever see over the hill to find more trees?" She watched the people hustle and bustle. First there were carts full of rocks and stones, and then there were shovels and picks. The first strike was such a surprise to the tree that she didn't know what it was. She had never felt pain before. 1 minute her roots were drawing water and food from deep in the earth, and the next she felt like a limb had been severed. The tree cried out in anguish, sending cries of help through every nerve and fiber. But the humans just kept digging and cutting and hacking and breaking. By the end of the day, the old tree, because she was old by now, hung limp and exhausted. She called to all the animals. She called to the wind. She called to the rain and the clouds. "If it is my time to die, make it quick. Don't let the humans hack me to pieces day by day." The animals tried to help, but the tree was too big. The wind tried to blow her over, but her roots ran too deep. The next day came, and the humans got back to their digging. More roots were hacked and cut. Then the humans dug around the tree and carved the earth around the base of the tree and blanketed it with stones and then concrete, leaving only just enough space for the giant sequoia to drink water sip at a time. By the end of the day, the tree wept. "There's no space for me to breathe," she said. "I can hardly move." She begged the birds and the giraffes and the lions and every beast to pull her apart until she was nothing but twigs. But her trunk was too thick and strong, and her branches were too long. The third day came cold and damp. The people were quiet, like they hadn't decided whether to wake up or not. With fog hanging low, two humans with blades as long as their arms leaned against the tree and started to carve. They laughed and clapped their hands while the giant old tree cried out in unimaginable pain. When the carving was done, the tree looked down at the strange markings and then looked up at the sky. "Make it now. End it now. I must be done." The sequoia emptied her roots of water. She reached up high into the sky and called to the heavens. "I have kept the human secrets long enough. Now give me my rest and my revenge." And the skies knew that the tree was right. It gathered clouds. It gathered rain. It gathered a mighty storm and lit up the heavens with fierce and furious lightning. With the people sleeping, the storm struck once, and fire lit up the crown of the giant sequoia. It struck twice and hit the trunk. It struck three times, and the roots of the sequoia erupted in flames, sending fire raging through the town. Every house burned. Every human ran. The flames, carrying the pain and fury of the giant tree, nipped at their heels and chased them out of the valley and far over the hills. That done, the sequoia sent her blazing roots through every barn and shed and shelter until she found her children. Hundreds of them, thousands of them, all the cones she had dropped over the years. She wrapped her burning hands around each one and held them close. "Stake your claim," she whispered to every cone, and set them free. The fire burned so hot and so long that when humans came back to the valley, they could do nothing but pick up the few things that hadn't been turned to ash and leave. And with them gone, the rain fell. The children of that giant mother tree spilled out of their cones and let the rain carry them deep into the earth. The animals hurried back, nestled every seed in place, and set up watch. The clouds circled the skies, sending hailstones on the heads of every human who ventured too close. And so the trees grew. Not one, not 100, not even 1,000, but 10,000 strong. Their roots sank deep and spread far, reaching and touching and connecting with forests around the world. The roots sent messages all day and all night about what the humans were doing, what they were whispering, what they were building, what they were thinking. When the tree roots couldn't reach each other, the ants and the mites, the mushrooms and the ocean creatures picked up the thread. Where the creatures of the land couldn't pass the message, the birds and the bees sent the message instead. And so the word spread, root to root, sharing the secrets that humans whisper, their worries, their desires, their dreams, frustrations, concerns, their plans and their vision. With that knowledge, the trees chose where to grow and where to stay away. Animals chose where to burrow and when to run. And so the years, the decades, and the centuries passed, and a weary and an easy existence developed between humans and the world. It's why animals run when humans get too close. It's why humans fear raging fires. It's why forests run thick with thorny, dense, impenetrable undergrowth, protecting the trees from the biting hands of a greedy human race. You know, I'm sitting right now, still in Sherwood Forest, looking into the trees. The trees themselves aren't thickly dense. I mean, they're dense enough. It's a forest. But what inspired the story is a blue balloon had floated somehow into the forest from somebody's camping site. And of course, when you see it, you pick it up. Naturally, you know, that's how you roll. But it took such effort to get through all of this thorny, thick undergrowth to get that balloon. I ended up having to use sticks and prongs and reaching things because the undergrowth was quite impenetrable. And that's where the story came from, because I asked the question, why? Why might a tree want to surround itself with such thicket? And so the betrayal came about. Hey, wow, I hope your week has been beautiful. I hope you've found magic in your world. Walk into forests and watch the leaves sway and listen to the birds. There is definitely healing in nature. Absolutely beautiful. Have a wonderful day. Go hug all the people you love. And if there's somebody you're annoyed with, maybe make peace or let it go. Whatever serves your heart. All right, and if you fancy some more wild, weird shenanigans from Story River Fable, just pop along to tinaconstant.com. All right, bye-bye now.